Luke chapter 22, verses 7 through 13. This is the reading of God's Word. Then came the first day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, so that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" And he said to them, "When you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters. And you shall say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large, furnished upper room. Prepare it there." And they left and found everything just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, so that we may truly hear your word, so that we'll be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Through your word, let us have sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what he has done and what he has accomplished for us. Bless us that your word will be preached correctly, and we will all be able to understand and believe and obey your word. We ask that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, what we are looking at in the book of Luke is, like I always say to you, our Lord Jesus Christ is accomplishing the kingdom of God. Last time, through Judas Iscariot, we saw the people who belong to this sinful world. They live for themselves. For they live for the worldly gain for them. Thus, they hate Jesus who speaks of heaven. John chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. They love the darkness because in darkness their sins are not revealed. Not yet. It will be later. But they don't come to Jesus, because if you come out to the light, then you will see how filthy you are. So they remain in the darkness. They don't want to come out. They are self-centered. And they are this world-centered. The Apostle Paul calls them the enemies of the cross. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 through 19, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. But what we need to realize is that you and I, we were just like them. But Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that God has made us alive when we were dead in our trespasses and sin. So now our citizenship is in heaven. We are now Jesus-centered and heaven-centered. Thus we join the psalmist, confessing with him in Psalm 73, verse 25, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you I desire nothing on earth." So you and I will see in Luke chapter 22, 23, 24, what Jesus has done to save all of us. And I'm very excited that we are at this point in the book of Luke 22, 23, 24. 22, he's being captured. 23, he's dying on the cross. And 24, he's resurrected. There's so much to look at, and we'll take, you know, our time to look at everything. But today, 22 verse 7. Then came the first day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. We have already seen how our Lord Jesus Christ perfectly fulfills the feast of the unleavened bread and the Passover. We must understand the life and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ in terms of fulfilling the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Our Lord Jesus is dying as our Passover lamb. And that time for him to die has come in the book of Luke. Now Matthew tells us what Jesus said at this time. Jesus said, "My time is near." John tells us, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father. So we see God's appointed time has come. And this is very, very important. And you need to realize this as you live your life here. That everything is according to God's plan. And if you look at our passage, and if you look at the chapter 22, 23, 24, everything is now moving to fulfill God's will. And that is what we are seeing in our passage. You will see Jesus Christ, his disciples, the person who carries the pitcher of water, the owner of the house, Judas Iscariot, all the religious leaders, they are all now moving to fulfill the will of God. Verse 8 and 9, and Jesus sent Peter and John saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us so that we may eat." They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" Chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might put Jesus to death. Judas is seeking to betray Jesus. But look at Jesus. Jesus is faithfully fulfilling all the laws to the end, and he is doing this for his people. We will see in these chapters how Jesus saves the sinners who truly deserve to die forever. All you're going to see is these people sinning around Jesus. Jesus is the only one who fulfills God's will. Before we move on, we must understand something here. If you remember the very first Passover, it was observed in Egypt at each one's house. But when we read Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, it says, "Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Booths. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed." So all males, three times a year, must come out to God in the place which God chooses. Later, of course, it was the temple. But as the history goes, they did not follow this practice, even though God has commanded, just like you and me. God commands, but sinners don't obey. 2 Chronicles, chapter 35, verse 16 through 19, this is what we read. So all the service of the Lord was prepared on that day to celebrate the Passover and to offer burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord according to the command of King Josiah. Thus the sons of Israel who were present celebrated the Passover at that time and the feast of unleavened bread 7 days. There had not been celebrated a Passover like it in Israel since the day of Samuel the prophet, nor had any of the kings of Israel celebrated such a Passover as Josiah did with the priests and the Levites, all the Judah and Israel who were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of Josiah's reign, this Passover was celebrated. So that verse tells us that Israelites, they didn't obey God's command to celebrate these things. So how they celebrated changed as time passed. First, it was at their own house in Egypt, but later they were to come to the temple. 3 times a year they were to come out to where God chooses, and that time they didn't have temple yet. But they didn't do that. So, by the time of Jesus, the males would come to the temple in Jerusalem only once in their whole life. Even though God had said 3 times a year, but it was impossible for these people to come out. So, if you just take one journey to Jerusalem once in your lifetime, that was okay at the time. But think about this. They were to come to the temple. And during the time of these festivals, by the time of Jesus, so many people came to the temple. There was no room. So, at his time, it was okay to observe these festivals within the walls of Jerusalem. And that's what we see here. Now Jesus says to his disciples to prepare for the Passover. And they are to prepare food like lamb, bitter herbs, wine, and unleavened bread. And they had to secure a place. So we read from verse 10. And Jesus said to them, "When you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters. And you shall say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large furnished upper room prepared there." And they left and found everything just as he has told them, and they prepared the Passover. Again, because it was the Passover time, there were so many people in Jerusalem, and it was not that easy to find a place for Jesus to eat the Passover with his disciples. But that is the point. When we read our passage, we could see that God was in complete control of all things, and God has prepared all things. And all things happen exactly according to his will. Here in our passage, everyone moves like you're watching a spy movie. Jesus says, "When you have entered the city." Jesus does not even say what time. He doesn't say go now or go 10 minutes later. It just says when you go into the city. A man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Now, at the time of Jesus, the ones who would carry a pitcher of water would be women. So it would be easy for the disciples to recognize the person since man is carrying it. And the disciples were to follow this man into the house that he enters. We don't even read about like what they talk about. They were just following this guy. And the house that he enters, they follow. Then they go in there and they will see the owner of the house. Then they are to say to that owner, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then the owner will show the disciples a large furnished upper room. And they are to prepare the Passover there. There are no names given. What we need to see here is that it is Jesus Christ who is in total control. He will do all that he has to do. And only after that, he will let the enemies capture him. Do you remember verse 6? So he consented, Judas consented, and began seeking a good opportunity to betray Jesus to them apart from the crowd. So you could see what Judas was doing. But see, Jesus had to do some stuff before he lets himself being captured. And only after he does all that, that's the only time that these enemies will be able to capture Jesus. Not even 1 second before. See, Jesus wanted to have time to teach his disciples in that upper room. And he wanted to institute the Lord's Supper there and wanted to pray to the Father at the Garden of Gethsemane. Not until he does all that. All that he wanted to do. No one will be able to capture Jesus Christ. Not until the appointed time according to God. And this is also true in your life. Nothing is random or coincidence or chance or luck. We don't use those kind of words because it's not biblical. Verse 13, they left and found everything just as he had told them. Do you see it then? Jesus is the master of the supper. He is the one who prepares the supper. This is his supper. All happens according to his plan. And later, he allows himself to be captured and he gives himself to die on the cross. If you go to John chapter 10, read verse 17 and 18. For this reason the Father loves me because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down and to authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Jesus is letting them kill him. This is why I don't like those Jesus movies. Because they portray Jesus as someone so weak. And just, he cannot do anything but to led by these soldiers, and that is not what is really happening. If you go to John chapter 18, verse 5 and 6, this is when Jesus is being captured. So Jesus with his disciples, and here comes all these soldiers, and Jesus asks them, "Whom do you seek?" And I read verse 5. They answer him, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said to them, "I am he." And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with them. So when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Picture this. You don't see this in Jesus' movie. They never show it. They come to capture Jesus. Jesus says, "Who are you seeking?" They say, "Jesus." "I am he." They all fall. They fell to the ground. All it takes is Jesus just little thinking they will all die if that was what he wanted. This is not hopeless, helpless Jesus. He's actually giving himself to these people so that God's will be done. Do you see it? He allows them to capture him. And this is what I want you to see today. And when you hear the verses that I'm going to read to you, that your confidence in God will grow. That your faith that God is in complete control of your lives and what happens in this world. Nothing happens apart from his plan. You don't have to worry. See, our God, he is in control of all things. And when you look what happens in this world with your physical eyes, you will never see it. You don't feel like, oh, God is in control. It actually looks like he's not in control. That's why you don't live by sight. You live by faith. He is in complete control of all things. We believe in his absolute sovereignty. He has absolute authority, and all things are under his reign, his rule. And here, let me borrow the language of the Westminster Confession of Faith to remind us who our God is. "There is but only one living and true God who is infinite in being and perfection. A most pure spirit, invisible, without body, parts, or passions, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, most absolute, working all things according to the counsel of his own immutable and most righteous will for his own glory. God has all life, glory, goodness, blessedness in and of himself, and is alone in and unto himself all sufficient, not standing in need of any creatures which he had made, nor deriving any glory from them, but only manifesting his own glory in, by, unto, and upon them. He is the alone fountain of all being, of whom, through whom, and to whom all things, and has most sovereign dominion over them, to do by them, for them, or upon them, whatsoever he himself pleases. In his sight, all things are open and manifest. His knowledge is infinite, infallible, and independent upon the creatures. So as nothing is to him contingent or uncertain. He is most holy in all his counsels, in all his works, and in all his commands. Enjoy your God. He is so beautiful. And when we're talking about his beauty, we're not talking about his appearance, but these attributes of God. Just like you would enjoy your loved one's beauty. You know, your daughter, your son, they're beautiful. And you enjoy them. Take time to enjoy your God. These awesome attributes of His. Your God is truly beautiful. Now, the Bible tells us about our God. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 14 and 17a. Behold, to the Lord your God belongs heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 and 12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head of all. Both riches and honor come from you. And you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might. And it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 6. O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler of all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand against you. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. You alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to all of them, and to heavenly hosts bows down before you. Isaiah 46, verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which had not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. We're talking about your God. Be amazed and enjoy His beauty. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what have you done? Job chapter 9, verse 12. Were he to snatch away, who could restrain him? Who could say to him, what are you doing? Psalm 115 verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases. Psalm 135 verse 6, whatever the Lord pleases, He does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deeps. Psalm 22 verse 28, for the kingdom is the Lord's and He rules over the nations. Jeremiah 32 verse 17, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Matthew 20 verse 15, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? Matthew 19:26, with people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Matthew 10 verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Not even one bird will fall to ground unless God willed it. I want you to seriously contemplate on who your God is and how powerful and mighty He is. I don't think we truly know. Oh yeah, He's infinite, so it will take forever to get to know Him, but I don't even think we know as much as He already has revealed to us through His Word. This is why your Christian life suffers, because you don't know how almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful your God is. Sometimes you act like God doesn't even have power to control your life. What is your life? God controls the whole universe. He created them by just saying it. And you believe He cannot control your life? Luke chapter 1 verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Acts chapter 17 verse 24, the God who made the earth, God who made the world and all things in it, since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything. Since He Himself gives to all people life and breath and all things, and He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitations. Do you understand? All is in His hand. No one in this world will die unless that time God has appointed for that person. Romans chapter 9, verse 15 through 16 and 18, for He says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. So then He has mercy on whom He desires, and He hardens whom He desires. And once God says that in book of Romans, the sinners will say, then why, if everything is according to your will, then why do you blame us? And our God simply says, who are you, O man, to talk back to God? That's all he says. Who do you think you are talking back to God? And yet, because of salvation, he hears your prayers. Ephesians 1, chapter 11, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Oh, brothers and sisters, I truly pray that you will see how mighty and all-powerful, all-knowing our God is. That everything that happens in your life is exactly according to his will. That's why we could sleep at night, not worrying about anything. Because this absolute sovereign God is saving us. This God became a man and came to save us. See, this God is accomplishing the kingdom of God. This God, our Lord Jesus Christ, loves us to the end. And this God allows himself to be captured, and he lays down his own life for you and me. He gives all of himself to us. And this is what we need to understand. I'm sure you have all these complaints in your life. And if I were to sit down in front of you and hear them, you might go on and on. But I want you to understand how blessed you are. Because this mighty God loves you. And he saves you from sin and from this world. You must believe how blessed you are. And trust God. Trust him. He could definitely take care of you. But he will take care of you according to his plan, not yours. But you will realize later that his plan is far greater than any plan you might have for yourselves. Trust our God. And we always joyfully give him all the glory and thanksgiving. Man, I pray that God will give you grace so that you may be amazed how great our God is. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you are truly amazing God. So loving, so beautiful and wonderful. Our language just fails to describe you. But Father, we know there's nothing that you cannot do. And yet, you became a man. Your son became a man. to die for our sins, to save us from sin and from this world. Oh, Father, let us just be amazed at your grace. This Almighty God becoming a man to die for us. Your grace is so amazing. So, Father, let us take time to be amazed by you, your beauty, the beauty of your attributes, so that we will live our lives in awe, always giving you glory, praise, and thanksgiving. We love you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.